My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. I am so, so happy to be with you today. I am excited to share my full method that I use with all of my coaching clients to help them break the cycles of love addiction, love avoidance, and love deprivation. If you follow me for any amount of time, you've heard me talk about my coaching program, the Love Addiction Recovery School, which I have been teaching since 2016. I've been teaching basically this method since 2016, back when the program used to be called Learn to Thrive, then when I changed it to the Recovery School, then briefly to From Addicted and Avoidant to Available, back to the Recovery School, because that's what this program is for, to help you heal and recover from the traumas that cause these intimacy disorders in your life and restore or create for the first time a deeply intimate relationship with yourself that is then mirrored into your relationships outward, right? So that is what the Love Addiction Recovery School is about. And I created a method that I take all my students through because it's what I have found to be best and most supportive. For those of you who don't know, I am a therapist by trade, transitioned into coaching full time several years ago, pre-COVID, because I saw that my coaching clients were getting quicker and faster results than my therapy clients were. Because I just fully believe, I say this all the time, that when you give smart women a method and a plan of action to solve their problems, that they will take it. And of course, healing is a journey. Healing takes time. No one emerges from any process that they're in 100% perfect, but we can solve certain problems. We can make significant changes and put ourselves on the right path. We can give ourselves tools that we will use forever and ever that are not only going to change who we are currently today, but they are going to set off the catalyst so that every other skill that we apply later on actually applies. So I'm going to go through that method with y'all today. If any of you have attended my open houses or even watched the masterclass, I talk a little bit about this method there too, but let's talk about it for our full time today so you can know the ins and outs, the reasons why, and how this may apply for your own recovery journey. Okay, let's go ahead and jump on in.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
Okay, so let's look at the process to go from love addicted to love balance, love avoidant to love available, and love deprived to feeling love nourished. Okay, these are the three intimacy disorders that I help everyone heal and work through our time working together, through this podcast and everything else. So I'm going to tell you the name of the first step. So there are four different steps in my process. It is currently called the Bloom Method. I'm probably going to change that name in the near future, but I call it the Bloom Method because you'll hear it also in the steps. There's a theme to the steps here, but I call it the Bloom Method because if you were to imagine the relationships and love that you have in your life as a garden, right? Is your garden thriving? Is it flourishing? Is it blooming, right? Is it green and lush and rich? Or are there patches of grass that are just dead and dry and brown? Are the plants wilted? Does it seem like you're trying to give it all the sunlight that you need, that you can? You're giving it all the fertilizer that you know how to give, but for some reason, your garden still is kind of DOA. So the Bloom Method is the steps that we take to make your garden of life, the garden of your heart, flourish, right? For it to be fully giving you exactly what you want and to be what you are, for it to reflect back what you are pouring into it. Because I think that's probably the hardest, one of the hardest setbacks and disappointments in this healing work, when you feel like you're doing all the things and nothing's really showing up in front of you. I think that's why many of us, for better or for worse, we can say, well, I'm just going to give up on the love and relationships thing and just focus on myself. Which works for a while. I don't think there's ever anything wrong with focusing on yourself and focusing on pouring into you and your hobbies and what makes you happy. That's only going to make your life better, and it is going to improve your friendships, the other people around you, your quality of life. But if you're doing it solely as a means of escaping because the romantic parts of your life aren't really clicking and like coming together in the way that you want, there will come a time in your life when you are ready for romantic relationships again, even if it's a long period of time, like it is for some of us. Some of us have gone years and years and years. Some of us maybe even into the decades saying, I don't want a relationship. And then the urge comes back, or maybe it never went away, but we are more willing to try again because we've had enough time on our own. Either way, you want to make sure that whenever you go back out there and that you start to engage with people, that you don't repeat the same patterns that you had before. Because time and distance, this avoidance has never made problems go away. If it really is a skill set issue, if it's that there are things that are not on your radar because you don't know what you don't know, you need to get support to help with that. So the first step in the Bloom method to help your relationships flourish is to uproot. Everything that is there. Now, here's the reason why. Many of us, the reasons why the tools and tips that we're applying, the mindset changes, the affirmations, the dating rules or non-rules, you know, the living in your standards, whatever it may be, the no contact process, any and all those things that we may be trying to apply are not working because we have weeds that are choking out the process. We have weeds, which might be very pretty flowers and trees that we think are supposed to be there. You know, I think what was the really pretty flower that I figured out was a weed? Hold on, let me look it up. Okay, I don't think that this is it, but it's the closest example that I have right now. So yellow dandelions, before they become the little white headed things that we can blow off and make wishes into, yellow dandelions are actually weeds. And even if a weed looks very pretty, if there's something else that you're trying to actually grow in its place, if there's something bigger, more substantial, something that is providing more of a mood and ambiance that you want to your garden, right? You're trying to shift your direction. You're trying to change what your garden looks like. This really pretty thing that used to be there now becomes a nuisance because every time you try to cut it down, it's still there. It comes back. It gets in the way. It crowds out and it takes away the sunshine and the light and all the nutrients that you're giving to the other things in your life. You're pouring, you're manifesting, you're praying, you're healing. And nothing seems to actually be able to take root because you have this thing that's actually a weed that you're like, oh, that's nice, or that's good enough, or that's not really that big of a deal, that you either let fester and grow or that took over. And you just cutting it down at the head is not going to make it go away. You have to actually uproot it. You have to clear it out from the roots so that it has nothing to regenerate again. It's the difference between maybe waxing and shaving versus lasering or electrolysis. You know, with shaving or waxing, yeah, you may be removing the hair. Maybe you're pulling out the follicle too when you are waxing. When you're shaving, you're cutting it off at the skin, but that hair is going to come back versus when you're lasering or electrolysizing it. That's not the right word. But when you're doing electrolysis as a treatment, you're zapping the hair follicle. Like it's not going to grow back, or it's very rarely going to grow back if it does, right? It is a permanent solution. And so that's what we want to do. So what are the things that we are uprooting when it comes to this? We are uprooting unresolved childhood trauma and the impact on how it has made us see ourselves, see other people, our beliefs and understanding about women, our beliefs and understanding about men, about love, about what is safe, when I feel unsafe, about how I want to communicate, about where I learned my value was in the world or where I learned my value was not in the world, about some of the shame and chaos that I have come into this world holding, not knowing that it was mine, and wondering why these feelings are so big and so overwhelming that I just can't shake. Well, maybe it's because these are feelings that you're not even supposed to be holding yourself. That's why within the first couple of modules of the program, and I know I talked about this on last week's episode where I talked about the roadmap to heal love addiction, I talked about how this is kind of where we start. Because if I come in trying to tell you this is how you set boundaries with people, or here's how you figure out your values, or this is how when you meet people, how to talk to them, how to figure out someone is available or unavailable, it's all going to be Greek to you. That's why some of us can be talking to people, talking to our friends about other friends that we have in our life, or about a boss situation, or about a romantic partner that we have. And they see things that we don't see. And we think they're just being haters. We think maybe we're saying the story in the wrong way, or maybe they don't have all the details to it. But really, their perception is on a different level than ours is because of what has been planted inside of us. And again, that's why some of us can have so much frustration, because we feel like we've been doing all this work and nothing is helping, and I'm still in the same problem. Maybe there is something wrong with me. Maybe this is how it's always supposed to be. Maybe it's better for me just to avoid these issues altogether. And no, that's not what it is. You just need to have the right support that can see the problems in a different way. I know that's one of the main pieces of feedback that I would get from clients and students all the time. Even if they came, say they joined my coaching program, but they have a therapist that they love down, right? When this is someone that's going to continue to support them. I have so many people whose therapists recommend the program to them, and then they come back and get the results that they need, and it really helps accelerate their process. Because seeing things through a love addiction lens and treating it and seeing the roots and the reasons why it happens is so different, which is why I have a whole podcast that talks about love addiction, love avoidance. And I don't talk about insecure attachment and avoidant attachment styles, even though that's absolutely part of this, right? But when it comes to looking at breaking these cycles, we have to treat it like an actual compulsive set of behaviors. We have to look at it from the lens of overwhelm that so many of us go through, and the reasons why we feel it and why it feels so intense. So you have to uproot all the weeds. You have to uproot all the things I listed. Anything else that comes up, this is also uprooting all the toxic relationships that are in your life. So sometimes this can look like people that you're in situationships with. There's so many of us who, when I first start working with y'all, there are people that you are in an undefined partnership with. You know, you're sort of kind of together, maybe sometimes on your birthday. You know, when you're there for them when things are going on, y'all have broken up. But you're trying to stay friends, you have broken up and you haven't talked to them in a year, and recently they reconnected with you, and now you're trying to see what it can be like to be cordial. You know, like there's those things, these roller coaster relationships that we constantly get on, and they provide us no satisfaction. And we're hoping to try to get back to the initial satisfaction that we used to have. Like maybe there used to be a time that you can kind of dibble and dabble and it was enough. And now it's not. Now it's not satisfying you the way that you need to. So it's about learning how to cut ties with those. When you are a love addict, or when you can tend to use love, connection, companionship, or the ideas of love, communication, companionship as a salve for unresolved childhood trauma issues, thinking about and actually doing those cutoffs is deeply painful. It's deeply scary. All of your abandonment stuff will come up, but it's like abandonment wounds within yourself, because it's like you're the one. It's not that they're the ones that are necessarily creating distance. If you come to a place where like this isn't working anymore and you're the one who's having to cut it off, it's like you're warring with yourself and you don't even really want to do it. No contact can also look like cutting ties with narcissistic parents, fake friends, and other people as well. A lot of times what happens is if people need to do the no contact process, they may think it's just one or two people in their life, and then they'll start with them. And then come to find out, they've had a whole network of really toxic and unavailable people, but they couldn't see it because they were so surrounded by it. So they have been, again, just swimming in a garden of weeds and just really confused of why nothing was taking root. It was because you've been having some sabotage coming from the outside, but you didn't even know it was sabotage, right? Sometimes we can have people around us who are well-meaning, who love us, but again, they're just not where we are going. And not only are they not where we're going, if we try to take them with us, They're not ready to go there. And so that can be a really hard part. When you realize what it is that you need, you want, and you start to communicate and you try to help others, there may be some people who are ready for that and they've been waiting for you. And there may be some people who are just very content with being in the mindset that they are and having shallow relationships or having relationships that are based with a whole lot of ups and downs. And this week I'm your friend. This week I'm not. I'm mad at you. I'm not going to tell you why I'm mad at you. I'll see you when I want something from you. Those types of relationships, they're more content with having those. Okay. So after you uproot everything, now you have fertile ground, or now you have the opportunity to have fertile ground to build the type of life and relationships that you want. Now, I want you to imagine that you have this giant garden, right? Or maybe for this example, let's say you have a big field. And I don't know a lot about agriculture, but I do know that there's such a thing as if you have farmland, you have to be very mindful to not over farm, to not overuse a plot of land. Because even when you're doing all the right things, constantly using a plot of land to grow food or crops can start to strip the soil of its nutrients to where now when you try to plant things, nothing can grow at all. Not because you did anything wrong, but the land needs to rest. The land needs to be replenished. The land needs to heal as well, right? So if we are uprooting our garden, if we're uprooting the garden of our heart that has had all these weeds sucking and draining us dry emotionally, mentally, spiritually, financially, sexually for decades of our life, right? We have been feeling burnt out, overwhelmed, just torn up. Now we're starting to uproot all that. Yeah, you might have come into the program ready to build new relationships and to set boundaries and to build self-love, but hell, that hurts. Like you've got what feels like potholes everywhere, like things been plucked up that you didn't think that you needed to be plucked up. And it just feels like a lot. So what do we need to do? We need to heal this. This step is called cultivating. I call this step cultivating the ground, right? This is where we start to give ourselves new thoughts about ourselves. We start to create new habits with ourselves. We start to change and challenge how we can see relationships now, because how can I tell you that it's safe for you to trust people when you have a whole bunch of people around you that you can't trust, right? Like, how ridiculous does that sound? That's why we spend the first part of our time together uprooting, clearing out, and, you know, giving you insight to these relationships. That's the thing. When I teach, when I coach, it's all consent-based. I know that there are probably some coaches that are more confrontational when it comes to talking about things. So let's say you're working with another relationship or healing coach or career coach or something. There may be some that are more in your face and will be like, this thing that you're doing, don't do it. If you continue to do it, I'm not going to work with you. When it comes to this type of stuff with love addiction and love avoidance, I just understand that sometimes you have to go through it. Some like best thing that I can do is once I open your eyes, I know that you're not going to go months or even years, but for sure, not even months too far into this tomfoolery with this person, because you're going to be like, shit, like you're going to call bullshit before I can call bullshit. It's going to be more effective for you to see it and for it to be your decision versus there be someone else's opinion or belief telling you what to do or what not to do, right? So I allow all places, my clients, the gifts of consent. And I just say allow. The reason I use allow is because, like I said, I know there are a lot of people who their coaching looks different. And that's just not my style. I just feel like we have enough shame internally that we don't need anybody else. But what I won't do is I won't lie to you. If you ever ask me my opinion on something, I'm going to tell you. If you ask me my opinion on what I think you should do, or who this person is or whatever, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie, but I'm always going to give you what it is that you're asking for when you're ready for it. Now, sometimes if I see you about to walk off a cliff and you're like, all right, I'll see you next week, I might ask you a few more questions to kind of lead you to seeing, hey, there is no ground after this next step I'm about to take. This is actually a step I want to take. Like, I want you to make a fully informed decision. If you decide to jump, I've tied a little tether around your waist so that when you jump and you fall and you crash against the wall, you can climb back up, you know, and I'll help pull you up too. So hope that y'all enjoy that little metaphor right there.
Hey, we hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. Let's take a quick break to say thanks to this week's sponsors.
All right, so I'm a few years late, but just in time for Valentine's Day, I finally tried Skims for the first time, and I really loved what I found. I tried the Fits Everybody collection by Skims, and it focuses on the best comfort intimates, and I found them so soft, stretchy, and like a second skin. I loved how they fit so well under my outfit seamlessly, and they also came in a variety of shades that I got to choose from that were so great for skin matching and also fitting the vibe of whatever I was wearing. The triangle bralette is definitely my favorite. It's the shape of the bras that I usually wear around the house, and I found that Skims to be super lightweight and supportive, which means a lot for someone like me who has a larger chest. The Fits Everybody collection is available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X, and you can shop now at skims.com and Skims stores. And after you place your order, be sure to let them know I sent you. You can select podcast in the survey and be sure to select my show in the drop-down menu that follows. And if you're looking for the perfect gift for your Valentine or for yourself, Skims just launched their best Valentine shop ever, available in sizes for women, men, and kids.
So all that to say, I have to move all of the bad people, all the bad things out of the way so that all the good things that we have coming actually have space to take root, right? And all the self-compassion. So when in my programs, I try to teach people emotional regulation skills and self-compassion skills and everything at the beginning, like most of it is in the welcome section. I tell all my students, don't skip the welcome section. I know it's a whole lot of stuff. And if you're like me, you're like, I'm trying to get to the program. I get it. I can figure out the links and the videos and, you know, the worksheets. I got it. And I'm like, don't you skip that, because there's some really important things in there to get you set up. You know, I teach self-compassion is one of the things that I talk about and teach at the beginning. And I think self-compassion is one of the things that a lot of people know about intellectually. But when it comes down to actually applying it, it feels very, very hard. And the reason why a lot of it is very hard is because you have the ghosts of your past that are louder than your own voice. You can't really even hear yourself giving yourself self-compassionate thoughts because you have the voices of your parents. You have your own critical voice. You have the voices of maybe failures or the part of yourself that's very hypervigilant and overprotective that's stopping you from having these positive thoughts, because your life has probably taught you. Sometimes when I have positive thoughts and I try to have hope and belief and faith around certain topics of my life, like maybe there are some things that always work out for me and that are easy for me, but things around love and connection and everything don't work out. So I'm not going to go into this with a Pollyanna, you know, point of view. I'm going to go into it. I'll be optimistic, but I'm going to be a realist, not understanding that sometimes the realism is unresolved trauma. Sometimes it's not just wisdom. It's wisdom that's wrapped up with some things that are not benefiting you, which is why we have to clear that out. So that's what we do in cultivating. We cultivate and we plant thoughts and actions and habits for you to apply. But here's the thing. The change starts once you start uprooting. Like not only is it the physical like effect that sometimes some people do the no contact process and everything, but you just learning about these things and learning about this is actually how your trauma has affected you in a different way. Because I think I attract so many people into my programs who, some people are brand new. They don't have a therapist. They don't really have any mental health support. Some people have a therapist, and some people not only have a therapist, but they are self-help junkies. They have read all the books. They have read all of the things. They have been all up and down Oprah's bestseller list and, you know, all the other self-help development, all the other stuff, right? They know how to do the work and everything, but there are still some gaps in their understanding. And so learning about how this connects to love addiction primarily opens their eyes. And I've said this before, once you see the truth, you can't really go back. So the process has already started in uprooting, but in cultivating, you are applying more. You're creating a new skill set there as well. Okay. So I'm sharing all this because I want everyone who listens to this podcast to join my program. This is a program that I still teach. Even when I do smaller workshops and smaller programs and everything else, I still always talk about the Love Addiction Recovery School, because this is what I just believe in. and what I've seen work for hundreds of women before. So I'm always coming back home to this. And I know that there may be some people who are not ready yet, who are too scared, who feel like they don't have the time to do it, which that's an excuse, but I'll talk about that in a moment. But for whatever reason, people may not be ready to enroll yet. So in your personal life, as you're uprooting these things, I just want you to know that this process of kind of feeling lost and feeling emotionally overwhelmed and feeling as if you do uprooting right, you're going to look around and be like, what have I done? What have I done? Like, I've kicked up all this dust, most likely a lot of dust that you thought that you had already dealt with, which is sometimes another reason why people can kind of be like, I can do this on my own. Like, I've done enough therapeutic work. I've done enough stuff. I already know what the root causes of everything is. So I really don't need to do any more of that. This is just will just be a refresher, a repeat of what I already know. Right. But if you do this right, you'll kick up some stuff and be like, wow. Now, without these negative thoughts and feelings here, what am I supposed to do now? Like, I haven't been taught how to love myself fully. I haven't been taught how to, or at least not in these areas. I haven't been taught how to let people in, right? So that's when the cultivating comes into place at. Like, you get to choose. You remember those books that, I don't know if y'all read these types of books when you were younger, but you kind of choose your own adventure, right? You read a page or two and they're like, if you want Sally to do this, go to page 197. And if you want her to not do this, go to page 62. Like, you get to choose, but you get to choose any number of pages, what you want to create and cultivate in that space. So I want you to feel optimistic. I want you to feel excited by that. I want you to not see what's been stripped away as a loss, but more as an opportunity for what is to come. That is step two of my process, cultivating and planting in the Bloom method. The third is harvesting. So you have cleared out all these roots of traumas, trauma bonds, some toxic relationships, negative self-beliefs. You have cultivated a new set of beliefs about yourself. You started to apply new skills. You started to learn how to approach relationships in a different way. Now we are harvesting. Now we're starting to see the results of what happens when we start to apply these things into our life. And we get a lot of information. Sometimes what we're putting out there works. Sometimes what we're putting out there doesn't work. Sometimes we change our definition of what works versus doesn't work means. Right? If we have this belief that relationships and life are supposed to look a certain way, and if it doesn't, this is what it means about me. This is what it means about the world. Sometimes our mindsets change as well. But to put it more practically, what it means to harvest is, you know, I have one exercise in the program called the Connection Tracker. And I literally will have my students, I mean, again, everything is optional, but they have an opportunity to go out and kind of monitor their different interactions with people and see where are they acting more love addicted, where are they acting more avoidant, and where are they being more balanced, right? AKA secure attachment. Where are they mimicking these behaviors? And it gives them a lot of data. It gives them a lot of information to see, okay, where does this happen more with me? Where does it not? And in you doing this, you may find some things that you actually do need to uproot still, some things that you didn't even know were in the way until you started to do things in this different way. And also having the support and the guidance of a coach being me, helping talk you through that, really helps you feel like, okay, I can do this. And I'm actually making movement and I'm actually seeing the benefit of all the work I've put into. Because remember, when we think about harvesting, the definition of harvesting or the visualization of harvesting is you're going into this garden, you're going to this farmland, this field that has been in full bloom, right? There's all this beautiful, rich fruit and flowers and everything else that you could want that's there. And you get to get your baskets and you get to pluck and see what's there, right? Sometimes you're going to pluck something that's not quite ripe yet and you'll learn. You'll say, okay, I tried to do that with this relationship. It wasn't the right time. It wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for that. They weren't ready for that. Now I know this is what it looks like for a relationship in the future. Sometimes you pluck it and you're like, this is beautiful. I've never had something this great before. And you marvel at it. So much of the time with my students, once they get over that certain hump, it's like, wow, I had no idea that this is what it could be like. I had no idea I could go on dates and not obsess for weeks and weeks mentally about this person. I had no idea I could be in a relationship with someone and go slow and actually still feel really safe and secure. I had no idea I could date someone who would be prioritizing my needs and make things so easy before I even had a chance to, right? Like some of it, this is celebrating. It's not all hard work because you put in the work at the beginning and now you have to learn how to receive. That's also part of harvesting, is learning how to receive what you've had, learning how to rest your body, rest your heart, rest your mind, not letting everything be a struggle. Sometimes when we're used to struggle, we will find relationships that will make us struggle and work too hard. And sometimes we will manufacture struggle out of nowhere. We will criticize a partner. This is usually what happens, by the way, for my clients who come in as highly love addicted. If/when they get the opportunity to find a relationship that works really well for them, that's when it gets hard. And I say this all the time and people don't believe me until they get there. And then they text me or send me messages. And I'm like, Sheena, you were right. You were right. I found this person. One of my former clients, she got engaged last year. And she was telling me, Sheena, you told me that this was going to happen. But when I tell you, me having to communicate with this man and talk about feelings and, you know, be vulnerable. Oh, I hate it. Well, she loves it, but I hate it, but I love it, you know, that kind of thing. And so learning how to connect in a different way and be in a relationship long term is another set of skills that you get to learn and to harvest and to grow in, right? And then the last step is tending and maintaining, because I think sometimes we can get the experience, especially if we are self-help, mental health, you know, collectors. You know, we love to pick up a new skill, a new tip, a new podcast, a new TikTok channel, you know, a new set of quotes. We are good for picking up all of the things, right? We can almost get addicted to the dopamine rush or what it feels like to find a new solution, to find a new thing, to find a new tool. And it's very hard for us to use the same set of tools or to feel like maybe we need something else, right? And to feel as if finding the next tool is the solution. And so a lot of the results that we may initially get don't seem to last because we feel like we need to find something else. But in the tend and maintain stage is about normalizing that this is your new normal. This is your new normal. And this is what you do to maintain it so that you don't go back. Because one cycle that's really common for a lot of people, especially the people that I work with, is you go through whatever process you need to go through. You know, whether or not you're in therapy with someone that you love, you do whatever it is that you need to do. You do self-love detox. Let's say you do get an opportunity where you get into a really great relationship with someone and you break up because you don't really have the skills. You didn't do the mindset and the hard work that you need to work through all those things. It is a lot easier for you to fall back on unhealthy patterns. So this is where spinning the block comes in at. This is where the people that you would have sworn off would never have a chance with you again. All of a sudden they do because your body is looking for something comforting and familiar. And because this is the main thing that's been in your toolbox, because you haven't really cultivated anything else really that's substantial, it's easier for you to start to repeat those patterns. And so we don't want you to ever go back, right? We want whatever you get for it to continue to grow and grow and grow and for you to have more and more and more of what you want and what you desire. Okay. So that is the 4-step method. I've gone through many different iterations of the program. Like I said, as far as cohort style and everything, right now I'm back to doing 6-month cohorts. I closed that option and now we're back to doing 6-month cohorts where you come in and we work together for 6 months to get the results that you need. And I'm there for you to help coach you through it and support you. And so I would love to have you, for those of you who are listening, you're like, I'm ready to make this change. Oh, I said I would say something about the time thing for people who say they don't have time. First, I've had people who are ER doctors, people who are working on their dissertations for their PhDs, single moms of multiple children who work full time, teachers, right? I've had people who across the board are always the people, even college students, even undergraduate college students. I have had all the people that you would always say or you would think are the most time-strapped folks in the world who have found a way to do this program. And the reason why I think they found a way to do this program is because they realize something that I say often is wherever you go, there you are. It is very likely that the reason why that you are having a lot more stress about a certain life stage that you're in is because you're bringing in certain mindsets, beliefs about yourselves, the ability or inability to ask for help the ability or inability to believe that you're deserving of help and support and rest. So you gravitate more to stressful situations. You gravitate more to worrying about self-doubt. You are surrounded by toxic relationships and people who don't help you, which makes whatever you're going through right now, whatever your time crunch is, even worse. The recovery school, again, the reason why I call it the recovery school for the longest time, and then I added love addiction to the title. So the reason why it is the love addiction recovery school is because you recover from so many different things in your life. Everything is interconnected. How I see myself, how I see other people, how I see love and relationships. I bring myself everywhere I go. And if you're healing yourself, every other area of your life will change as well. So for those of you who say you don't have the time because you're stressed or time crunch, or you don't think you'll be able to focus on it, chances are that is pattern that you have in your life often, where you're always putting yourself last until the right time, until the right moment that never comes. So I would really encourage you to consider giving yourself the gift of focusing on you for 6 months, right? And the program is lifetime access, so you can come back to it in case you do get distracted or whatever else. But we use the procrastination in the program. If I have a client that comes and they like go AWOL for a while and then they come back and they are so apologetic, first of all, I say you don't need to apologize because you get to use this program the way that you need to, and you get to show up for you in the way that you need to. So let's talk about what happened for you these last few months where it was easier for you to check out. And we use that. We learn about ourselves. There's no such thing. Nothing is lost, y'all. Everything is always a lesson to help us and to benefit us. And that's one of the values that I have and the mindsets and perspectives I use in coaching students in my programs. So if you want to learn more, you can go to therecoveryschool.com and you can join our newest cohort. And I would love to see you there. So that's it for now. I hope you enjoyed, and I hope that you're able to use this method in your everyday life as well. And until next time, I'll see you in the next episode. Take care of yourselves.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.